from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. How are you today? TGIF, happy Friday on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester alongside you for the ride. The IHOP hotline, manned by Jad Chambers, is open and ready to roll. And we're ready to roll on this Friday. I appreciate you tuning in on KFH. Appreciate you watching us on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Lots of different ways to take in the show. Maybe the Odyssey app. Maybe we're talking to you from the past. Maybe you're podcasting us right now through the Odyssey app. Lots of different ways to take in the show. We appreciate you, no matter how you take in the show. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, had to call an audible yesterday. Travel issues on the way back from Big 12 Media Day, so we'll get Fitz in here today. A lot to talk about, not just with K-State, but some other interesting stuff happening to pay attention to. Mike Norvell accusing K-State of tampering. Or is it Jay Norvell? Which Norvell is it?
Jay Norvell.
Jay Norvell. Jay. You've got that going on. You've got conference realignment rumblings out there. All kinds of good stuff. So we'll get with Fitz on that a little bit later in the program. Get you ready for a big Royals series with the Boston Red Sox. I think everybody's looking forward to that. Dig in a little bit more into why this stretch of baseball could be a memorable one for Royals, for the franchise, for the fans, for the organization. All kinds of good stuff today. We'll have two giveaways for you. We'll give away some NBC World Series tickets. We will give away some HTO iced tea and Prairie Fire coffee as well on the program today. And again, that IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Happy Friday. Looking forward to kicking off the weekend. Going to be a hot one out there today and into the weekend. You know, the seasonable weather that we had last weekend, not going to carry over to this weekend. But hey, we're in the dog days of summer at this point.
Listen, I'm in the tea slinging business on the side there. It didn't break my heart to finally get a hot weekend. It has been a strange weather pattern. And I know everybody doesn't feel that way right now. You're like, you're nuts. It's been hot for a long time. The weekends have been weird. They've been cloudy. We've had a lot of rain on the weekend. So a hot weekend, I get out at the pool, enjoy it. It is July after all. I was at Isbell last night. So if, I don't know if anybody else was out there. I do know one listener was out there. I talked to him in the line for a little while. So shout out to that gentleman. Very kind. Chatted us up. Listens to us every day. We appreciate that. It's a great show. Are you an Isbell guy, Tommy?
I like Isbell. Yeah, no, you texted me at like, what, 7 o'clock
late.
Last night?
It was late. Yeah,
the show started at 8, and you're like, hey, I've got an extra ticket if you want to come. Those days are, I think, are past for me, you know, where it's like a less than an hour notice to get down to a concert, especially on a weeknight. So I had to turn you down, unfortunately. But no, I like Isbell.
Because I was up there. I was on the, you know, the fence. I was right up front row. I didn't realize I was going to be able to do that, and I did, and it was great. And that's the probably the third time I've seen him, which is crazy to even think about. It makes me feel old, honestly. But it's good. It's a good show.
Nice, are you that nice kind of guy? Can you get, you know, can you get reached out, like, you know, have somebody reach out to you that short of notice and be able to, like, go and make something like that happen?
Yeah, it depends. But, yeah, you know, if it was a show I really wanted to see, absolutely. Like, and if it was the right time of day and, like, my wife is around to be like, hey, this is there, and it would be no problem. I mean, our kids go to bed not too long after that. So, you know, it would, yeah, totally would. I mean, it's funny, that show, and I'm taking my wife for a birthday, we'll call it that, up to the Morgan Wallen show in Kansas City. I wouldn't pay, you probably couldn't pay me to go to that show. But it'll be fun. Like, it's going to be fun and the atmosphere will be awesome. But like last night, like a artist I really like, and you get down there and you're right up close. Heck yeah. Yeah. I'm all in for that. It was fun. It was a good show. And again, shout out to the listener that was there. I imagine there were several listeners out there. So, what'd you think of the show? I thought it was good. We had the train. It's a good venue. It's a good underrated venue. All right. Coming up on the show today also, we've got Paul Skeens. I think that's pretty fascinating what happened with him yesterday. What are we doing here? We can get into that. He's been incredible in his rookie season, and they didn't let him finish a no-hitter yesterday. And we have this conversation all the time, and I think it's an interesting one. Bart Winkler here on Infinity Sports Network was digging into that a little bit last night. I think he was right in his thoughts on it, so we can get into that a little bit as well. You know, Big 12 Media Days is behind us, and we'll talk to Fitz about it a little bit, Tommy, but I'm kind of sad. Like, that attention to college football, and now we have to, what do we have to wait, a month and change here? Like, what an appetizer that was. Gave us lots of storylines to chew on, and now we have to sit and wait, and I am so ready for it, and all that did was make me even more impatient for football. And we're about to have the same thing happen with training camp. You get so excited about the start of training camp in the NFL, and then you realize training camp's really long, and then you have a preseason to sit through. Like, it's all there, but man, I'm ready for football. That's all this week did was make me even more ready for football.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're a kid and it's Christmas Eve and you're waiting like to go to bed so you can get up the next morning and open presents. That's kind of how it feels, I think, if you're a football fan. Whether you're college or NFL, this time of year, you get past the 4th of July, you know, we're getting into the All-Star break, and so it's so close you can taste it, but we still have to get through training camp. We still have to get through, you know, preseason and all of that for the NFL at least, and then you get a teaser with media days in college football. But again, we've got, you know, a decent amount of time remaining to get ready for the season. So it's kind of one of those, like, dangle it in front of you, dangle the carrot in front of you, and you're I'd be ready for it to, like, start today. But we've got, six or seven more weeks before college football kicks off.
But I don't want to do that either, because that also means the summer's gone. And I haven't had a good grasp of the summer this year, to be quite honest. It's like, because we've had a remodel happening at our house, and like there's been all kinds of different things happening that have really just like taken the summer away. So now I find myself like, oh, I can't wait for the fall, but now I probably need to get a little summer in here too. Like, we got to mix some of that in. So I don't know. I'm trying to be patient with it. The good news is the Royals give us a reason to be patient. This has been a blast following the Royals. It's going to be a blast following the Royals. We'll sort of set that up here. I went over it yet. We looked at it just briefly yesterday on the show. But if you think about what's coming for them, they'll take us until football at minimum. This should be one of those stretches that gets a fan base as excited as it's ever been. Think about what's out there right now. You're in a chase. You're going into a series in Boston. Now, hopefully they can hold their own in that series. Then you get the All-Star game. You got four Royals represented, right? Four. That's a big deal. You got one of them in the home run derby, your budding young superstar. Right after that, you play 16 straight games against teams that don't have a winning record. The first nine of those are at home. That's going to take us to the trade deadline. As long as they do what, you know, just at minimum what they're supposed to do, they're going to make a couple of trade deadline moves to get you excited, and then you're in a playoff race, and you're smack in the middle of it. We're good. We're going to be good with this, and this run's going to take us to football. I don't have much question about that. Like, here we go, buckle up, Royals fans. There was a fear, what, about a week ago, even maybe 2 weeks ago, that they may fall out of this thing, and it would be such a letdown. I think the chances of that, Tommy, are so low now that I'm just not even worried about it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're a believer in momentum, and I'm a believer in momentum, I think you're a believer in momentum, you know, you lose the first two games in Colorado, but then you come out big in the finale last Sunday to at least salvage one game out of that three-game set against the Rockies. Not an overall great outcome for the series altogether, but, you know, at least they finally saw the offense kind of break out in that finale on Sunday. Then you get, you know, actually 2 days off before you play a doubleheader on Wednesday because of the rain in St. Louis. You sweep that doubleheader. So a team that has been so bad on the road this season has won three in a row on the road before they play another three games on the road this weekend. They have yesterday off. So conceivably, you would think, I know they played a doubleheader on Wednesday, but other than that, they should be fairly well rested. And you've got your aces going this weekend in Boston. Yeah. It's a Red Sox team that, you know, definitely has, I think, come on strong as of late. I mean, they're in the hunt for the wild card as well. They've been good, but I think that you have this opportunity, if you're Kansas City, to continue that momentum going into this weekend, going into the break, and ending the first half of baseball on a positive note when, like you mentioned, it wasn't that long ago. In fact, I think we were even having conversations as recently as Monday about, man, you know, they lost 2 of 3 against Colorado and they might be out of this race and the metrics don't like them. And all of these teams are, you know, going to be trying to jockey for position in the wild card race. Here they are, you know, and I think that Wednesday doubleheader, absolutely critical. And we're going to see how this weekend plays out. But you're right. After the All-Star break, they do have more chances, more opportunities. And if they can make some trade deadline deals, then at that point, you think the reinforcements are probably going to be coming in, at least to some extent. They should be positioned at least fairly well for baseball in August and September. There's a good chance it could be a pretty wild ride.
The metrics still don't like them, by the way. So they have 73 games to go. Let me just do some quick math here. So CBS Sports, which is where I usually just look at stuff, they have their, I think it's called Sportsline analytics thing. They not only do they only give them a 9.4% chance to make the postseason, they only project them out to 79.7 wins. Let's say it's 80. Okay, so with 73 games to go, they would predict the Royals down the stretch. The Royals have 51 wins now. So to get to 80, they would go just 29. So 73 minus 29, 44. 29 and 44. The models right now have the Royals going 29 and 44. Or this particular, I shouldn't say the models. This particular model. Over the rest of the season have the Royals going 15 games under 500. That's not going to happen.
It's hard to buy.
So that's what I mean. Like, there are opportunities now to get on the Royals train. I don't know why that is. I think that is almost impossible to fathom when you think about the five starting pitchers there, to go 15 games over under 500 the rest of the way. I mean, especially when you look at the stretch they're coming out on and thinking about that being 16 of those whatever 70 games. Like, that's what I mean. Like, they're still going to feel like a Cinderella, even though that kind of stuff seems crazy to us that have been watching this team the whole time. I think, and I would predict on July 12th, that it'll sound even crazier if they are, in fact, going into, because they've been, you know, we know how they've gone. Their pendulum has swung in both directions. They're streaky. If this is a hot streak, and this stretch of games comes up and they can hold it through an All-Star break, which will be a little bit challenging. I mean, they're going that's going to seem so stupid in 2 weeks to say that they would go 29-44 over the final 73 games of the season. Like, it will seem ridiculous, and I think that will happen. We'll see about Bob. The only thing this weekend that would just be catastrophic would be a getting swept. Other than that, they'll be fine. I mean, you win one game, you only lose one game in the standings to Boston. Not that big a deal. You'd like to take more than that, and I think they will. I think they'll win the series because I like the way their pitching lines up, and I think their offense is hot right now. So we'll specifically dig into that series here in just a little bit. But that is out there. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk baseball. What do we make of Paul Skeens yesterday? A, baseball's got a pitcher that has us captivated. This doesn't happen all that often. Not like this. And you took an opportunity away from him yesterday to continue that momentum and that captivation. Is that worth it? If that's you. If you're in the manager's chair having to make these decisions, what do you do? They pulled him. 7 innings, no hit, 11 strikeouts, wasn't even at 100 pitches. You pulling him? We'll talk about it next. Sports Daily, all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
Go! Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome in, everybody. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily on a Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. Did you see Paul Skeens yesterday? If you haven't been paying attention, this rookie is drafted last year. Same sort of clout. We don't see it all that often, honestly, with pitchers. Guys that have the sort of hype coming straight out of college, coming straight into the bigs like he has. You can think of, you know, Mark Pryor, Steven Strasburg. There haven't been a lot, quite honestly. Like, it doesn't happen that often. Skeens had that kind of buzz, and he's delivered on it, quite honestly. He's an all-star. He may start the all-star game. He's been electric. Yesterday, against the Brewers, 11 strikeouts through 7 innings. He was at 99 pitches, and they yank him after 7. They give up the no-hitter, by the way. Not that I think that's that big a deal. Team no-hitters are fine. They're not historic or anything like that. We do this. We see this all the time with young pitchers. They're protected big time. I get it, kind of. But at the same time, I don't get it. Do we really think that in a random game, Paul Skeens going to 115, 120 pitches is going to have that much of an impact on his career overall? Like, at some point, I don't know. I think I get both sides of it. They want to bubble wrap him, but you also have this, you know, you have this phenom with a chance to do something historic and special, and like I think you got to at least it, and honestly, I think the correct answer is you talk to Paul Skeens and say how you feeling, and if he's fine, and he's genuinely fine, I think that's a situation you don't have to really protect him from himself. He was at 99, Tom. He wasn't at 110 yet. Like, see if he can go out there and get a couple quick outs, see what happens. I think you run him back out.
I think that the world is obviously different from, you know, the way it used to be with pitchers, where they were constantly getting into the triple digits and, you know, throwing tons of innings. And, you know, it wasn't uncommon. I mean, what, 20 years ago?
Sure.
To have a pitcher go even into extra innings, you know, and pitch 10, 11 innings in a game. You don't see that sort of thing anymore. You mentioned Steven Strasburg. Let him be kind of a cautionary tale for Paul Skeens. You know, Strasburg came up, was highly touted, pitched for the Nationals. A few months into his major league career, he tore his ligament in his pitching elbow and had Tommy John. You know, and then he came back and obviously was a couple-time All-Star and whatever. But, you know, still, when you look at his overall career, and he just retired, by the way, just like officially announced his retirement like a few weeks ago, I think. You know, I think you look at his overall stats in his career and you're like, man, for somebody who was so regarded, highly regarded, he probably underperformed because of the injuries that he had. I think you can maybe look at him as maybe a cautionary tale for the way that the Pirates want to treat Paul Skeens. He had a really quick ascent from being drafted to now pitching in the big leagues. He didn't spend a whole lot of time in the minors. It's not that he's not pitching great. He absolutely is. I mean, he's been pulled in two different no-hit bids so far this season. He's a phenom. I think by all definitions of the word, he is a phenom. But I totally understand Derek Shelton and the Pirates wanting to be extra careful with Paul Skeens just because they want him to be a dominant pitcher 5 years from now, 10 years from now, not just right now. They need him to anchor that rotation long term.
I wish I knew if there was a correlation, you know, like I wish I knew if there was a correlation in that sort of thing. There probably is. So Paul Skeens last year, from what I can find, threw 122 innings. So they're expecting a big jump. And by the way, Steven Strasburg, I mean, three-time All-Star, he had a pretty good career.
He had a pretty good career, but not, you know, the Nationals got him with the first overall draft pick, right? Wasn't he the number one draft pick, you know, when he came into the major leagues?
Yeah, I mean, he was the last one I can remember that had this sort of, it went Pryor, and then Strasburg, and now Skeens. I think those are the three guys. I don't think there have been other pitchers as heralded as these, as those three specific names. But I'm looking at Strasburg, and they were, you know, he didn't really get a full workload until his third year stiff in the major leagues. 160 innings, 183, 215. Then he got hurt to 120, but then he was back to 150, 175. Got hurt again, went down to 130 that next year, then 209. And then that was the end of it, sort of. And he had just a couple of, but it's not like he, I mean, he had meaningful stretch, like 9-10 years of almost full seasons, if not full seasons. So I just don't know what difference it makes on July 12th to let him throw 20 more pitches than if he doesn't, right? Like, and I think if it was the eighth inning and he was at 99 and it was only one more inning, they probably would have let him try. I get it. There's two more innings. You're looking for a strikeout pitcher. That could be another 30 pitches. And I don't think you want to get into that realm. And I also, by the way, and for the record, I have absolutely no issue with them protecting him this way. I just wonder what he thinks about it. You know, like, does he want to get out there and try and finish it?
I don't think he cares. I mean, he's a rookie.
That's the point. You're trying to be a rookie. You're trying to listen to your manager, but I think there's a difference. So that's what I mean. Like, could you imagine Nolan Ryan as a rookie telling him he can't go back out there? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think
that's an apples and oranges comparison.
I know, that's my thing. I think the psyche has changed. I didn't know this until I saw this clip. I guess he dates the very, very famous and popular gymnast at LSU. Livy Dunn. And they asked her at the ESPYs about that. And she was like, yeah, I think he'd like to go out there. But at the same time, you have to, you know, you got to make that arm last a long time, which tells me probably that Paul Skeens may feel the same way. And if Paul Skeens was fine with it, then I absolutely like do. Well, I don't have any issue with it anyway. If the Pirates want to make that decision, make that decision. But it just is interesting to see, even among the players, because this is what I would imagine, that Paul Skeens is probably okay with doing that. I mean, I get it.
I'm sure
guys
he is.
Get hurt all the time, and so
I'm sure
it's,
he is. And he's got to protect himself as well. You know, and when you're that young, I mean, you're probably not thinking about that entirely. I'm sure that subconsciously he's like, man, I could go out there and I could keep pitching. You know, and sometimes you need your manager, you need, you know, maybe other veteran teammates or whatever to maybe save you from yourself a little bit and say, look, we need you not just this year, but down the road also. I think that's a big part of it. The other thing to keep in mind with a pitcher like Paul Skeens, he's not a pitch to contact pitcher. He is a strikeout pitcher. Yeah. And so the number of pitches, I'm sure Derek Shelton thought about this too. The number of pitches conceivably that Paul Skeens probably would have needed to get all the way would have been a lot more than just if he was a, you know, one pitch to contact, get a ground ball and get out of the inning kind of guy. He's going to try to strike you out. And so more often than not, those at bats are going to take a little bit longer and a lot more pitches.
It's just funny to me too. Like in every pitcher's different. Max Scherzer, you know, he's pitched just a handful of times this year. They're letting him get out there and throw 95 pitches. He's coming off major injury and is like
Max Scherzer is
old.
Yeah, like that's the major difference is his age, you know, and just it's not like the Rangers are, you know, they're not invested in Max Scherzer for the next decade.
Well, they're not trying to get him hurt either. That's what I want to know about this whole discussion. Like, what is it that is, because there's a lot of, we all know this, there are a lot of pitchers getting hurt. Tommy John. But what is it that's doing it? Is it pitch counts? Is it innings? Is it velocity? If it's velocity, which I think it probably is, then it probably doesn't matter on one random start if your pitch count goes to 115 instead of 95. That's what I'm having, just like from a baseball perspective. Like I wish I knew that piece of it.
Because you could probably draw some comparisons to an extent to, you know, you buy a new car and it starts to depreciate as soon as you drive it off the lot. And the more that you drive it and the more miles you put on it, the more it depreciates. So even if it's a car that, you know, can go 0 to 60 like that, and is a really fast car, flat, it still is going to depreciate. Even if 5 years down the line, it's still driving as fast as it was when you bought it, the value is still depreciated, and there's still probably a larger risk of it having issues because you've put so many miles on it, regardless if it still drives as fast as it did when you first got it or not. That's probably the same way I would think with pitchers like that, where, you know, you draft him, you pay him all that money. As soon as he starts pitching for you, whether it's in the minors or the big leagues, the timer starts. And there have been so many different examples of pitchers, players in general, not just pitchers, that have been highly regarded, highly touted. They get drafted, they get paid quite a bit of money, and then they never really develop, and they end up languishing in the minors for a long time. I understand why the Pirates rushed him through the minors, because they're like, we got to get our money's worth out of him. We would rather have him, we think he's ready, and we would rather have him pitch in the big leagues now than, you know, put miles on the car in the minors, even if it is for a year or two. They wanted him in the big leagues now, and they thought that he could help them right away, and he has. But I do think that there probably are some comparisons to that.
Well, I mean, listen, the Pirates are only 2.5 games out of a wild card right now. Like, they're very much in a playoff chase, and there was no need to let him ramp up in the minor leagues. Let him ramp up in the big leagues, because you might be in a playoff chase. They are. I mean, they are. Good for them. I'm glad they did that, too. Kudos to them, because a lot of teams don't do that. They protect the service time and all that. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's start to dig in on the Royals, because we're going to shift to some of the news and notes and other storylines out of the Big 12 with Tim Fitzgerald, top of the hour. All this baseball coverage, by the way, on KFH, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll set up a giveaway here. Let's do NBC World Series here in the first hour today. Sports Daily listeners, you got a chance to win tickets to the NBC World Series. You can participate once per day. All you got to do is text the keyword STRIKE to 20357. Each text entry will give the listener a chance to win a pair of tickets to one of the exciting games at the NBC World Series. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. That's STRIKE to 20357. We'll come back. We'll dig into Royals, Red Sox. Don't go away.
KFH. This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Chicken Ball Brock, Tommy Caster, glad to be here with you. Royals baseball tonight. Big series. You'll hear it right here on KFH. Boston, I think, Tommy, I wouldn't hold out hope on a sweep. I mean, hold out, you know, chances of a sweep. You get your three aces going on the mound, plus Brady Singer in a day game. I think two out of three is where you look. I'd like them to win this series, even on the road. But again, as long as they get one, it's not really going to be that big a deal either way. You could lose a game in the standings to the Red Sox. I'm curious to see all these days off, right? They get hot like this and you get 3 days off and what, eight, and then you get an all-star break. And it's almost like, no, like, let's not do this now. Where was this break 2 weeks ago? They could have used it. So you hope that doesn't happen, but they're in a pretty good spot here. This is the way you want things going into a series like this.
Yeah. I'd really like to see Cole Reagans get some better support when he takes the hill this weekend for the Royals. You know, he's got a good ERA. The win-loss record, I don't think, is quite indicative of the way that he's pitched this year. His record is 5-6, an ERA of 3.28. And so, you know, he's, like I said, pitched well. Of course, he's one of your aces, one of the guys that you want to lean on, and that you expect, you know, that he's going to at least keep you in a position to win a ball game. They just need that offense to continue what we've seen out of them the last three games. And I think I mentioned it yesterday when we were recapping the doubleheader in St. Louis. I think what I was most impressed about with the Royals in the nightcap of the doubleheader was the way that the offense continued to bail out a little bit of leaky pitching. And, you know, Michael Walker had a couple issues in that nightcap, and then the bullpen had a couple issues, Zerpa did, and it seemed like every time that the Royals would give up a run or two to the Cardinals in the middle of the game or even late in the game, that then the very next half inning, the Royals offense came out and they added insurance runs. That happened, I think, three different times in the game in the nightcap on Wednesday. And so if they can continue doing that, and I'm not anticipating that Cole Reagans or Seth Lugo or even Brady Singer, you know, maybe Brady Singer more than the other two, will put them in a position where they need to then lean on the offense to back them up. But if that ends up being the case, I feel good about the last game that they played when that was the situation. I'd like to think that that could continue this weekend if needed.
Yeah, the offense has been bad on the road. It's been the number one problem, I think, if you had to look at all the problems this year. It's been the top problem. Well, they've scored eight runs a game in their last three road games. So what is that? By the way, that doesn't make sense to me either. Like, I don't understand why that's been such a problem. I know teams are better at home than on the road, but when you think about where the Royals play for a living, like, it's strange that they're that good at home and that bad on the road. They play in one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks in baseball. I don't know why that's happened this year. But now we look at it and, okay, you're coming out of it. 24 runs in your last three games on the road. Can you continue that in Boston? And I think that they can. I think that they should. And you hope – there are a lot of laws of averages this year. And that's what we mean about – that's what I mean. When you look at the, we just went over it. The analytics, some of them see them winning 29 games the rest of the way. That seems crazy to me. And none of that bakes in improvement either. Like, that's not baking in the fact that the outfield has been maybe the worst in baseball. It doesn't bake in some law of averages for MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfro, those kinds of players, right? That those guys, if they at least can just get to their average season, that means they're going to be a whole lot better, you know, down the stretch here. And it doesn't bake any of that stuff in. I think there are a lot of reasons, sure, that you could look at the Royals and analytically say they won't be as good down the stretch as they have been thus far. I can hear that and I can understand that. And it's fine. I get it. That's certainly a possibility, but not that bad, because there's a lot of reasons they could be a whole lot better too, including the trade deadline. Starting pitching is key. They have a ton of it. And that doesn't change, you know, from what we know. That doesn't change. So I just don't see it. This offense will get better. It's probably going to get better in two ways. It'll get better in the outfield anyway, because I don't think it can get worse, and I think they'll add to it. The pitching matchups are good. You know, I know Cutter Crawford's good. We saw him on Sunday Night Baseball not too long ago. He's been pretty good this year. I don't know a lot about the other two. going for the Red Sox. I just know they're a lot like, honestly, the Red Sox feel a little like the Royals to me. A lot of young players, probably overachieving this year to expectations coming into the year. They're at home. You know, they've got young players ascending. So we'll see. But if you ask me right now who I think has a better roster, Kansas City or Boston, I would say Kansas City, which is wild to even think about. Think about saying that before the year started. And it's because of the starting pitching, but that's just wild to think about.
Can I tell you why I think the metrics have a hard time with the Royals winning games? I think my thought on this, my opinion on this, is that they have a hard time with the Royals winning games because the Royals are really difficult to figure out, because it's not one thing that they do well. It's not one thing that they do poorly. It depends on the game. We talked multiple times about how this Kansas City Royals team is matchup dependent. They're situational dependent. It depends on who's pitching. It depends on what the offense is doing at that given moment. It depends on where they're playing, home or away. There are so many different factors that are baked in to how successful or not successful the Royals will be, not just in any given series, but really any given game. And so it's not like you can compare them, in my opinion, to a team like the Phillies or the Yankees. I know the Yankees have not been good lately, but them or the Guardians or the Dodgers or any of the best teams in baseball, because those teams, more often than not, you kind of pencil in a victory, or at least you pencil in, hey, we know exactly what this team is great at and what they're not great at. And it's a lot harder to, I think, narrow it down with Kansas City, because, like, as I mentioned on Wednesday night, it was the offense and the pitching was a little bit leaky. And then on other nights, the offense can't get anything going, but the pitching is spectacular. On other nights, the bullpen looks fantastic, and then there are other games where they don't. And so there are so many different, like, micro situations with Kansas City. I mean, really, you go back to, what was it, the Colorado game? Or it was the Tampa Bay game last week, when that game was ultimately, I think, decided, or at least the major deciding factor was Bobby Witt Jr. getting thrown out at second base trying to steal second, right? So there are so many different, like, situational type things. I wouldn't be surprised if that's giving the computers, you know, that are developing these metrics and the analytics and all of that, makes it really difficult to narrow this team down.
I don't want to go too far in that positive direction either. Look, they could. We've seen the bad of this team. We've seen when they go cold, what can happen. So that's possible. FanGraphs, which is one that a lot of people like to use, have the Royals 2 games under 500 the rest of the way, having them finish instead of with 79 like the sports line on CBS, they have them finishing with 84. I still think that's too low. I think they're going to be better than that. Can they get to? I sort of think this number is going to be 92, which is what's stuck in my head. Can they get to 92? I think that's kind of ceiling-ish. Like, I think that's the best it could go. I think it's more likely that, you know, maybe they're 88 to 90, something like that. But it's impossible to do this now because we don't know what they'll do at the deadline, right? Like, that will change all of this potentially. But if you consider improvement in the outfield, which is almost certainly going to happen no matter if they make a move at the deadline or not, that should happen no matter what. What I can't really find, and this is why I have a hard time looking from a pessimistic standpoint, where do you see regression? You know what I mean? Like, what has happened so far that you wouldn't see being at least as good or getting better down the stretch? Is it the bullpen? Maybe. Possibly. I think that's possible. I don't think that it'll happen with the starting rotation. I think the starting rotation is the starting rotation. We've seen enough of it now. The lineup, I can't see it getting worse. Where is it going to get worse? You know, like, it almost certainly has to get a little bit better. So maybe it's the bullpen. But that's the place for regression, I suppose. But man, bullpens are always fickle.
I think that if you're going to pinpoint something for regression, I don't think it's likely, but I think that there could be a scenario, because it happens from time to time where the rotation regresses a little bit. And I'm not suggesting that will happen.
I just don't know which one of them it would be.
Well, we've seen, you know, really solid pitching from the top of the rotation, especially, you know, clearly Seth Lugo. And one of the things that's been in the back of my mind this entire season is how great it is to see Seth Lugo pitching like this. And he looks the part and all of that. Could he come down a little bit in the second half of the season? Sure. Like, I think that could potentially happen. He's had good pitching years before, but not like this. Right. Unless I'm like missing a year or two. I know he hasn't had the opportunity. So, you know, I'm not predicting that he will regress, but I do think that scenario could potentially be on the table in the second half. That might be baked into it a little bit, not just him. You know, I think that you look at, you know, Cole Reagan's we just talked about him a little bit ago, that he clearly has a good ERA, but he hasn't had the run support to be able to have a better record overall. If that continues in the second half of the season, you know, then that could be baked into it as well. And then everybody else is not really a wild card, but like with Alec Marsh, you don't really know what you're going to get the majority of the time. With Michael Wacha, he's been good since he has come off of injury, but the last start wasn't amazing. It was mediocre.
But,
it was decent.
But haven't they,
it wasn't great.
But haven't they already been that? Right, you know what I mean? So Marsh has already been up and down. Walker's already, to a smaller degree, been up and down. Reagan's has already been up and down. Like, we've already seen that. Yet here they are. So even saying that will happen in the second half doesn't change what's already happened. Lugo is really interesting. I cannot believe that Lugo is in Kansas City. Honestly. You go back and look. I remember when he was signed. We're like, oh yeah, Lugo, he had a really nice year. But if you go back with him, all the way back, like in 54 games in 2018, that dude had a 2.66 ERA. Now, he was a reliever then, I get it. Next year, 2019, his whip was under 1 in 61 games. 61. Then he gets to start being a starter, finally, and his ERA is 3.5, basically. For 3 years. So it's wild to me that he was not a hotter commodity. I mean, again, all the credit in the world to J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman for identifying him and going to pony up to do it. But I don't know. I mean, he's had a stretch this year where he gave up 5 and then 4 runs. Like, he's even had a little. So I think we've seen some of that up and down from all of these guys. So even if that does happen in the second half,
yeah,
I think we're looking at what we've already seen.
I don't, I'm not saying that I agree with the analytics at all. I'm trying to figure out they have the Royals in this position, you know, because I do think that I would be shocked if we get to the end of the season and in their remaining games, the Royals are 15 games under 500. I would be shocked by that.
They won't.
Now, it wouldn't be shocking to me if they finish the season at 500 with the remaining games they have. That wouldn't be overly shocking to me. But if they finish the season with their remaining games, 15 games under 500, I just have a hard time finding that plausible.
The analytics problem that we can't compute is they can't let every team win all the games. You know, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose to get to those projections. So as they take it, it's just like individual matched up things. And maybe there's a baking in of Houston getting better, Texas getting better, which I think both things will happen. Tampa will probably get better. Like, there's a lot of teams that are going to get better down the stretch, and maybe that has something to do with it. But the trade deadline messes it all up anyway for this. We'll get more into it in the second hour. All right, we'll come back. Don't forget, you can win some NBC World Series tickets. You can text the keyword STRIKE to 20357. Message and data rates apply. We'll come back. We'll talk with Tim Fitzgerald when we return. Not just about K-State at Big 12 Media Day, some of that, but there have been other storylines that got really interesting. Prime, was he making excuses? What about this Florida State and Clemson stuff? I'll propose to him my idea of taking private equity as a business and helping with those buyouts. See what he thinks about that. And then we'll talk about this Jay Norvell stuff, talking about K-State tampering, which doesn't make a lot of sense. If you missed that story, we'll get you all caught up. That's coming next. Tim Fitzgerald joins us. Sports Daily, hour number 2, coming right up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, and we welcome in Fitz to start things off. Hour number two here on KFH Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester. Appreciate those of you joining us here. Odyssey app. Hey, maybe on our new 12 News Connected partnership with our friends at KWCH. Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different ways to take in Fitz. That's a lot of different ways to take in Fitz. Are you back from Vegas yet?
Yeah. I survived. It was a rough morning yesterday just because I worked late and then had to wake up early. But I can't do time changes, guys. I can't understand. It's 8 o'clock there, so it's 10 o'clock in Kansas. I got radio to do. I'm not very bright. I think that's what I'm trying to get at here. Just not very intelligent.
It's all right because more good stuff has come in the time away. So even more to dig into and have some fun with. We'll get into Big 12 Media Days in a minute. There's two like secondary storylines to me that have sort of come to pass in the last 48 hours or so that are interesting. Some of them revolve around conference realignment. I'm going to give you my solution to that here in just a second. But first, I saw this morning, Jay Norvell. Did you see this? Jay Norvell saying that K-State tampered with what, a quarterback? A, what do you make of that? Narc. And B, like, why would K-State be wanting to throw around $500,000 to a backup quarterback? You'd have to think. What did you see that? And what do you think of that?
I don't understand that. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. So I don't know. Look, here's the problem with NIL is nobody from K-State is calling these kids up. It's usually agents are shopping the kids. Or there's people out there trying to be your agent that can find you a better deal than your current agent. And honestly, I think some NIL collectives probably do reach out on people, but they're not associated with the university often. So there's just so much gray area out there that the NCAA has just not addressed and is scared to address that. But yeah, I don't even believe that report, but if it happened, it wasn't direct. And that's what's happened. I mean, Kobe Savage left K-State. He's perfectly happy, but someone reached out to him and said, hey, you can make more money at Oregon, and he went and looked.
Well, and, you know, I think also on top of it, just from what I've seen, Jay Norvell likes to talk a little bit. I know there was quite a bit of drama with him last season, so I don't put a ton of stake into it, but I do understand this thought that, you know, maybe in general coaches are feeling this a little bit, Fitz, where maybe it is an agent or maybe even an NIL collective that maybe doesn't have a whole lot of communication with the actual coaching staff, and they're, you know, maybe throwing out money and that sort of thing. It's kind of like the left hand not really knowing what the right hand is doing.
Right. And there's a lot of that in college athletics right now, because so much of this is spun out of control beyond the grasp of, you know, athletic departments. I know there was K-State was looking for a backup quarterback all offseason. They found one. They're happy with the one they found, but I don't see them throwing huge NIL money at a backup quarterback. That doesn't make sense for K-State. I mean, I'm sure they had to pay some NIL money, but $500,000, guys, that makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Maybe for a starting quarterback and a good one, but come on now. Anyway, whatever, Norvell. Maybe he meant Kent State. He did just say K-State. Maybe he wasn't talking about the Wildcats. All right, Fitz. So, yeah, Kennesaw State. There you go. I'm intrigued by, and I know it was Dellinger had to back up a little bit. He said it to John Kurtz. Anyway, that there had been at least initial conversations between, you know, Florida State, Clemson, and the Big 12. I would say to that, well, duh. Of course there have been. There have probably been a lot of conversations with everybody. Like, that part doesn't surprise me. What got my gears turning, though, with that is hearing that the Big 12 basically paid Colorado a little bit of money to disrupt things. which is smart. It makes me wonder, when a businessman is in charge, capable of being that cutthroat, and you're talking about these buyouts with Florida State and Clemson, why would, and I think there's a real chance something like this happens. Why not, if you're Brett Yormark, you take a private equity investment to go pay these buyouts, you grow the league, these investors can get a quick, fat return on their money. We just saw the NBA sign a $76 billion TV deal, okay? So you take some private equity, you go pay a couple of these buyouts, or at least some of the buyouts, to disrupt things in the ACC, you get the dominoes falling on that, you move along, all the dust settles. I think the Big 12 could do it. I think Brett Yormark is probably thinking that way. If he paid Colorado to do it, why wouldn't he pay Florida State and Clemson to do it?
Yeah, first of all, I'm not bought in on all of this talk yet, but it does make the entire investment thing make more sense. I mean, you're just going to get money and dole it out to your schools? It sounds great, but, well, you know, is that what they want? They want to improve their investment, and
right,
by sinking money into getting those schools into the Big 12, I mean, I think in one report, Notre Dame's included, which I don't know how much you'd have to pay Notre Dame.
I saw a parody account say that. I it was funny that he put it out there, because I had said something like that similar. I but just in general, like, doesn't it behoove the Big 12 to grow now? Yeah. I don't think you're going to get, like, because you're not going to get certain teams. The SEC probably wants North Carolina. The Big Ten may want a couple of these too. Miami probably is appealing to other, but at least get the ball rolling, because the iron is hot right now, and you want to strike. And I think it's an easy investment. If you had money, why wouldn't you make an investment in college football right now or live sports? Like, if you want to return on your money, because I don't think it hurts or helps. Well, it doesn't hurt the schools. It's not like you're saying, all right, you know, XYZ investor, we need $50 million to go help pay these buyouts. You're not taking any money away from the schools that you currently serve. It doesn't change that. You're using it as a way to grow your business. That's all you're doing there.
Yep. Look, Brett Yormark is fearless. I guarantee you he's reached out to all of those schools. He's talked to everyone. You know, it's not just more than they don't want to take the call. He's probably, you know, had extensive calls with people just about where they're at. Brett Yormark just seems like a guy that can get people on the phone. And, I mean, I'm sure he's swinging for the fences. There's only one thing left that would close the gap football-wise with the SEC and Big Ten, would be the addition of some of these schools from the ACC, and certainly Notre Dame, but I think we all realize Notre Dame is going to, if they leave independence, they're going to end up in the Big Ten, not the Big 12 or anything else. The one thing that could save the ACC by counterpoint is Notre Dame coming in full time and having it renegotiate the contract. But I get the vibe at Big 12 Media Days, the way Brett Yormark emphasized the fact that when someone asks about a basketball-only contract, which, you know, the Big East just got a really nice deal, they ask him about breaking basketball out. He said, well, we're not going to be in the market again to renegotiate contracts till 2030. I think that was a signal that, hey, the networks ain't paying us any more money right now. They're all tied up with money. We're not getting any more money, so we're not expanding and lowering what the schools get. So I think that was the message, and that's probably the biggest thing facing the ACC schools is, are they worth a network reopening negotiations to move them out at a higher rate to another conference? Keep that in mind. I mean, if you're ESPN, you've got them on a deal. You're stealing. You don't want to give that up. So there's just so many moving parts here. I don't see how anything happens, you know, with the Big 12 hitting a home run in the short term.
Here's my follow-up on Brett Yormark, watching his remarks at Media Days. I mentioned this the other day on the show, that I had two thoughts as I'm watching him since that I made. Number one, and this might sound like a negative, I don't mean it as a negative, but he strikes me as kind of like one of those televangelists from the 80s a little bit, you know, extolling the virtues of the Big 12, you know, kind of as a showman, which I totally understand that position. And then number two, I also, in my mind, I thought of Steve Jobs and all of the Apple keynote presentations that he made before he passed away. Again, talking about all of all the new things that Apple has been doing and kind of as a visionary in that way. So to me, it was like, and I know that he's not new anymore in this position, but even just watching him, I'm like, man, what a difference in the Big 12. And even though there are going to be things that he does that are probably going to ruffle some feathers that he already has, and there are probably some traditionalists out there that are, you know, gnashing their teeth over some of the decisions that he makes or the things that he wants to do in the conference, to me, there was just this level of excitement that I'm not sure I've really ever felt before with the conference.
I agree. This Big 12 Media Days felt like a new conference, more so than last year, more so than any time when they've added schools, because it did strike you that half the conference now is, you know, been joining in the last 12, 13 months.
Right.
And I think he is the face of that. I think he does an incredible job of summing up strengths and not emphasizing weaknesses. He does that with the Big 12. We're talking about competitive balance. And I think he's a great salesman, and I think he's an incredible negotiator. So if the Big 12 can keep him, you know, on course here, the problem is I don't think he'll be around at the Big 12 in 2030. I may not believe that in 2025. I think if someone really needs a, you know, let's say NBA decides they need to replace Adam Silver, that he's going to be right there. I mean, he's going to be way up on everyone's list now because of his dynamic leadership. And certainly the NBA would be a great landing spot for him. And look, I believe in the guy. And if he can pull off and get the top teams from the ACC to join the Big 12, the heck with All-State 12, it's going to be the Yormark 12. I mean, it'd be an incredible coup, and there's only one guy that could probably do it, and it's Brett Yormark.
Yeah, and he's working on it. You know he's working. If it can be done, he's knocking on the door and beating it down. Our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, joining us, and we will talk Cats in just a second. I do want to, though, before we really dig into that, get your thoughts on Coach Prime out there. A lot of people frame that as him making excuses, saying their wins are different. I think their wins are different. I think he was right. I don't think that was excuses. Their win total's 5.5 this year. Look at their schedule. I mean, I don't think they're getting to 6 wins, but I also don't think if they, you know, win 5 games but are more competitive than they were toward the end of last year, it's not like a failure of a season. I don't know. I thought it was fine from Prime out there. What was your take?
Well, he's got some messaging issues. I mean, I totally agree with everything you said. In the logistical process of building a football program, you know, the best thing for Colorado isn't to win 9 games this year, which would be great for Colorado, don't get me wrong, but it's probably continuing to build the foundation and keep climbing up. But I don't think he has interest in long term. This might be it for him. I mean, his kids are going to be out of there, and I like Coach Prime a lot, but he lost me, honestly, when he starts talking about it. He doesn't know what culture is. Well, that might be why you won 4 games. Why, you know, not just injuries, but your team fell apart because you don't have the ability to withstand, you know, trouble. Anything that doesn't go right, your team can fall apart without a good culture. And I sometimes think he and his players' messaging is just awful. Just awful. Talking about everyone's Super Bowl is against a 4-8 team. Come on, man. That's just stupid.
I know that's arrogant and dumb, but they'll have a ton of attention. He's not wrong about that. Like, we'll see what happens, but I'd venture to guess, at least early, the top ratings out of the Big 12, the most watched thing, are going to be Colorado games.
Oh, I agree, but I don't think anyone's role, maybe Colorado State rolls into that game with extra urgency to win it. In the Big 12, you want to win every game. I mean, that's usually true of most conferences, but
right.
We also know in the history, there's just some games you go into, you know you're going to lose. I don't know, guys. He's really good for the Big 12. He's going to bring a lot of eyeballs to the conference. And a lot of people might discover how fun Big 12 football is to watch by watching Colorado and then maybe passing off to the next game to watch the next Big 12 game. I, I think he is really, really a lightning rod for this conference to get some attention, and the Big 12 needs to make the most of it.
I think a good segue fits from Coach Prime to K-State is Dylan Edwards, obviously, and that was a huge part of Media Days, and I saw an interview with Dylan from Media Days talking about his time at Colorado and that he was homesick and wanted to come back and all of that. And, you know, of course, there's going to be, you know, that narrative, and that's going to be what people are talking about when those two teams match up this season. But from what you've been able to tell and through Media Days, I would imagine that at this point, there's a lot of plans and a lot of excitement about getting Dylan Edwards to be a focal point and a major point of this K-State offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he will be. And I talked to Avery a little bit in Las Vegas about that, and he said it's really cool to have him and to have the tools of DJ and Dylan together is going to offer them a lot of flexibility. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they use him. I mean, do they line him up in the slot as a receiver just as much as they put him at running back? Do they need that? Are they going to go to two-back sets? These are all things that Dylan Edwards coming to K-State, knowing that these coaches are really bought into, you know, getting your best players on the field and putting them in positions. You're not going to bring in a Dylan Edwards and then play him 15 offensive plays. You got to find more than that. So watching them do that will be great. But Dylan Edwards is going to add a lot to this team. And he almost adds that one more threat that they were missing to really make this offense a headache for defensive coordinators.
You tell me if I'm overstating it with Avery Johnson, who I thought in what I saw from him out there, did as good a job as a young person could do. He's already on the Heisman radar. I think with him, we're going to see a couple of things. I think he'll be going into, not this coming season, but the next season after that, he'll be a top five Heisman candidate by odds, maybe even higher. And I think it's going to work. It's all coming together for him. He's got a chance to be like a first-round quarterback. And it's so strange to say any of this because we've only seen him start one game, but it's all there. We saw it on the field last year. We're seeing it off the field this year, going into this season. Like, I'm all in. I think it's going to be a home run.
Well, 100%. I'm with you. I'm a huge believer in this young man, and I'm glad more people in the media got to meet him and understand why so many people are confident in him. I can't remember what he was talking about, but he was making really dated references. And the more and more I get around Avery, I'm convinced he's not just an old soul. He's a former football coach from another life or something. He's just got a greater understanding about life and football than maybe any other 20-year-old, whatever Avery is, I've ever come across. And he handles himself so well with the media and never seems overwhelmed by the moment. And I think that is probably one of the most powerful traits a quarterback can have. And Patrick Mahomes has it. And I'm not making that comparison. I'm just saying
I know what
quarterbacks
you mean,
have that. I'm not overwhelmed by this moment. There's 30 seconds left. We need to go 50 yards. I'm not overwhelmed by this. This is not unthinkable. The great ones have it, and he seems to have it. And the key with him, and like any quarterback, is can he stay healthy? And, you know, can he continue to play with his full option of weapons? You know, he doesn't hurt a shoulder or a knee that limits him in one or the other departments. If he can continue his run-pass balance, he's going to be a real threat all year long.
It'll be fantastic. We can't wait for it. This appetizer to the football season, it is going to be more fun than it ever has been. I'll keep banging that drum. Fitz, glad you made it back home safe. Hope you won a little money. And we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, boys. Great to hear from you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. GoPowerCat.com. You can find his work at Life of Fitz. All the great coverage from Big 12 Media Days they've got put together. Go to GoPowerCat.com. It's all there for you. We appreciate Fitz. We'll have him in again next week. We'll dig more into the X's and O's of Big 12 Media Days as we get closer to the season. We want to know about wide receivers. We want to know about this defense. We'll do all of that. Just needed to get through some of those other bigger storylines while they're still fresh on the mind with Fitz there. You can go back and listen to any of that if you joined it late by going to the Odyssey app. It'll be podcasted out for you at that point. Easy to find. All right, Tommy, let's do a little housekeeping here. Let's give away some HTO. We'll set that up here. So if you want to win some iced tea from HTO, any of the three metro locations, East or West Wichita or in Derby, more than 20 flavors, or some free rain coffee, all you got to do is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357, a free iced tea, a free coffee, one entry per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck on that, everybody. We'll come back. Is Tommy or I interested in the, I don't know, the ESPY Awards at all? Anything there needle moving? And we'll continue to dig into the Royals as they get ready for a big weekend series headed into the All-Star break. That's next on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on this Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. Appreciate Tim Fitzgerald for hopping on with us. If you'd like to go back and listen to any of that, you can. Just jump on over to the Odyssey app, kfhradio.com. You can always go back and listen to the podcast forums. Want to welcome in our audience on 12 News Connected. Thanks for being here with us there as well as the socials out there, Facebook, YouTube, X. Glad to have you with us here. All the different ways you take in the show. We got an HTO giveaway right now. You can text the keyword T to 20357. We got an NBC World Series ticket contest going right now. You can text the keyword strike 20357. A message and data rates apply on both of those. Let's look at the Royals get this first game against Boston. I'm just kind of looking here. We don't have a lot of the props out yet. We have some of them out, but we don't have Royals offensive props, at least that I see on ESPN Bet. But it's a Cole Reagan start, Tommy. It's a start where you can get pretty close to even money. -115 on the money line. They're slightly favored. They're listing Boston's starter as to be decided, so that may be changing a little bit. I'm not sure what's going on there in the Boston rotation. But until we get those, once they come out, I will strongly consider some sort of salvy offensive prop, maybe even a home run, but more likely like an over 2.5 bases kind of a thing. So it's all there, but it's still a little early on that. Minus 115, don't mind that on the money line with Reagans on the mound tonight.
I like that. I think that, you know, Reagans has the stuff to be able to really kind of, I don't want to say dominate this game, but he's the last time out, you know, gave up 2 runs in 7 innings. It was a good outing for him for sure. It's been a minute since we've seen great Cole Reagans, but I think that even good Cole Reagans is going to be enough with the way that the Kansas City bats have started to heat up over the last week that they should be okay. So I understand why they're favored in this game tonight.
I feel like I love Reagans. Reagans is awesome, but I feel like his floor is a little lower than Lugo. So whereas we've treated Lugo as like anytime he's around even money, you just go bet it. Reagans is a little bit different than that. He's had really only one bad start. It was the Cleveland game where he gave up 5 runs. I mean, since June, I mean, you go way back to like since May 11th, that was his other sort of dud game. He hasn't had other dud games, just those two. But it does feel like, well, he had one in April. I shouldn't say that. So he's had, let's call it three. We'll call it three dud games this entire season. So the chances of dud game are very low, right? It's just, what about that upside? You know, can he spin one of those just magical, unreal performances where he does his thing? I think, yeah, he can. I'm gonna go back to, he is not, yeah, okay. So I like it. I like minus 115. And then you get into that whole, what about plus 140 when you give up a run and a half? Can they win by two? Now you're looking at plus 140. Honestly, if I was taking one of the two, and I probably will, I would probably go ahead and take the run line, get that better odds because...
That's what I would do.
Because the offense appears to be hot. That's the only reason I would do that is because now it's like, okay, there's a little risk in Reagans in you know, not much, but a little bit. But it's because the offense is hot where I'm more inclined to probably just go ahead and get the better odds and give up the 1.5 runs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one thing to keep in mind with this, and we just mentioned how the offense really hasn't helped Cole Reagans a whole lot as of late. In the last 6 starts that Cole Reagans has had, the Royals are 1-5. In those starts, and he's pitched decently well in most of those starts. In fact, you know, you go back to Colorado, like I mentioned, 2 runs in 7 innings, but the bullpen fell apart and the Rockies won that game. You know, so they've got to do a little bit better job with that. Here's the crazy thing. The last 5 road starts that Cole Reagans has had, the Royals they haven't won any of them in the last 5 road starts. That includes 3 losses when the Royals are favored and the odds are minus 170 or higher, that the Royals have lost 3 of those games when they've been favored by that much. And so the trends are not there as of late for Kansas City to not only cover the spread, but to just win on the money line and Cole Reagans on the road. Hasn't been there. You know, so conventional wisdom would say don't bet that, but, you know, it's hard to ignore what's happened the last week or so with Kansas City and their offense, and you'd like to think that they might find a way to be able to help him out better.
So 2 runs, 7 innings at Colorado. Two earned 6 innings, Oakland. Dodgers, 3 earned, 7 innings. Twins, 2 earned, 5 innings. And then you go back to the dud game I talked about in L.A. So his last 4 road starts have been good.
They haven't won any of them.
I know. You're right. It's like, but again, like that's the whole our wins a pitcher stat thing. Like I think that's how could you ever bet that way, right? Like it's Reagan's, the bullpen's going to blow it for him. And I know weird stuff like that happens. Don't get me wrong, because I'm a pretty, you know, superstitious person in general when it comes to like baseball, but I don't know if I could bet that way. Like I'm just got to look at it like Reagans has been good. He's been good on the road. The offense is hot. Can they win by a run and a half? I think they can. And that's the thing. Like, am I going to take minus 115 on a one-run win or plus 140 on a two or more run win? With the offense going, I'll just take the better odds. Now,
yeah,
maybe the bullpen
That's the betting play, I think, you know, is if you're going to bet the Royals to win with Reagans, bet them to cover. That's probably the best way to go about that. So I don't disagree with that. But again, if you're just looking at the trends altogether, it would tell you to stay away. If you're going to bet it, though, I'm going to take the better odds and I'm going to bet them to cover the spread.
So that's there. I want to see some of the offensive numbers because those are that's what I'm pretty interested in is just kind of betting on the offense, especially Salvi. Just get on Salvi while you can, because if he gets on one of his heaters, it goes for a minute. So that's out there.
What do you think the expectations ought to be for the series in general? I mean, I know that you mentioned earlier that a sweep is probably out of the realm of possibility.
One is what you have to have. You got to get one. My expectation would be 2 out of 3. I think it's totally within the realm of possibility to sweep it. It's hard with the Royals. It's hard with the Royals to do this because I think it does depend on if they're on a heater or not. And I think we talked about this at the beginning of the week. It's been so interesting to see the parallels to last year's World Series champion. If the Royals can just really take advantage of their offensive heaters, it may be enough. It was enough for the Rangers to win a World Series last year. The Rangers World Series last year, their bullpen was garbage. They went through these cold stretches offensively like this Royals team has, and they didn't have near the starting rotation 1 through 5 that the Royals have. Now, they probably had more offense, but they didn't probably. They definitely had more offense, but it was an offense that got streaky, and it really hindered. Like, they went through these stretches where you scratch your head, a lot like what the Royals do now. But what they did was when they got hot, they got red hot. I mean, they just didn't – they took advantage of when they got hot. And so if the Royals can do that, and I think that they can, we're going to find that out right now, but even more so after the All-Star break. I think after the All-Star break is really what I'm looking at. So for this series – as long as you don't get swept, I'm fine. You got to have one. I think they should expect to get two. And I absolutely think they could sweep this series. I do. With those three pitchers on the mound, sure.
Yeah, you've got to bottle up the two-game stretch in that you had in St. Louis on Wednesday. And then that's going to be the biggest, I think, indicator on whether or not they win the series, number one, or if they can even sweep the Red Sox number two. I'm not sure I'm ready to say that. I think that, and the only reason I say that, I know they've got their aces on the hill this weekend. I know that the offense is coming around. Boston's right in the thick of the wild card race as well. And I think the biggest indicator, I just keep going back to it. Overall, the whole body of work, the Royals don't typically hit well on the road. Typically, they have in the last three road games, but overall, and they typically do not hit well on the road. If they can change that, I really desperately, especially the Cole Reagans game, I so desperately want the offense to break free and give Cole Reagans quite a bit of run support. Because if they can do that for him, to me that says, okay, they've gotten this behind them where they don't hit well on the road. They don't give Cole Reagans good run support. If they can give him that in this game, then I feel a whole lot better about what things might look like after the All-Star break.
Yeah, it'll be a fun series. I'm looking forward to the series. Again, I'm looking more forward to what comes after the series, so I don't want to overlook the series. It's a massive series. They could do something great with it. I think the reason I'm not letting myself get overhyped for this series is I don't think Boston's going to be the team there in the end. So I know they're the team there right now. I don't think Boston's going to be the team to worry about in the end. And that's where it has a little less bite to me than, let's say, like the Cleveland series have or the Minnesota. Like, if I'm looking at the wild card right now and I had to take a swing at who's going to be, it'll be one of the Yankees or the Orioles. I think the Twins are far more real than Boston. I think Houston is more real than Boston. Houston's the team I worry about more than Boston, for sure. I think, and you know, Boston's probably going to make some noise at the deadline, and my opinion on this may change greatly, and so probably I shouldn't overlook it in any way. But I'm not sure that I wouldn't worry more about Tampa than Boston at this point. And then I think that's probably it. I think the Rangers are going to get back in the mix, but they've got a much longer way to go. So if you're looking at Yankees/Orioles, Twins, Astros, Boston's not the team I think that's going to be there in the end. I think it's going to be one of those other teams. Could be wrong. Doesn't mean they shouldn't beat them. Doesn't mean all these things. But I'm having a harder time getting like overhyped for it, like the Cleveland series, for instance, or a Minnesota series. I think those are the teams that are going to be there.
Yeah, I think that with Boston, they are one of those teams that when you look at their roster up and down, to me, it's a little surprising that they're in the position that they're in that division.
When I think you've more surprising got, than the Royals, honestly.
When you've got juggernauts like the Yankees, who obviously haven't played great as of late, but still, I mean, they had quite a bit of cushion because they were so good early on. Baltimore is in the mix right there. Tampa is in the mix. Really, the only team that's not are the Blue Jays. Right. It's just, it's surprising
and they're still
to me. Good. Yeah, it's still surprising to me that Boston, and I know that you mentioned like, the roster top to bottom, you felt like compared to the Royals that the Royals had a better roster. I'm even looking at just in the division. I think in the AL East from top to bottom, just on paper, I think Boston has the worst roster in the AL East.
I know. And it's not to take anything away from them at all. Not trying to do that at all. I think they're a great story for baseball this year. Also, I think the chances are they probably go add at the deadline. They don't like losing either, and they've been doing a little of that. They have all the money in the world. They'll probably go be super aggressive at the deadline and make themselves much better. So probably shame on me for overlooking this in any way, because that may catapult them over some of these other teams. And by the way, the Royals aren't playing against themselves. That doesn't change either. The Royals, again, I'll say it again and again, the Royals are playing against a number here. They're playing to a number of wins as much as they're doing anything else. Can't worry about Cleveland. They're too far out ahead. Minnesota, you can probably worry about because, you know, just for the divisional purpose. But I really do think it's sort of a race to a win number. Race to a win number. So you got to get there. And that's why I look at what comes after the All-Star break with all those games against teams that are not good this year. That's where they've got to be able to go in and pile up a ton of wins. Because probably they're going to come pretty close to splitting out most of these games against the contenders anyway. Just go beat up on the bad teams. If you can do that, that may be enough to get there. Breaking news. Tommy, you just sent this. Paul Skeens is starting the All-Star game. And
he
that is the
yeah,
correct.
He was on the Dan Patrick Show, Paul Skeens was, found out live on that program that he will cool. start the All-Star game for the National League. That just came out literally a moment ago.
That's awesome. It's the right decision too, by the way. Put him on the stage. You don't get guys like him that captivate people very often. Put him on the big stage. Let him start that game.
Selfishly, I would have liked to see Chris Sale start for the National League. He's my guy with the Braves.
No, I
resurgent.
Know,
but he's got 12 wins, most in the National
who started
League.
Who's the American League starter? Is it Lugo?
I don't think they've named one yet.
Maybe they will in the next few minutes if they just announce Skeens. Maybe we'll have some breaking news there.
I think it's probably going to be Lugo.
Yeah, I think it'll be Lugo, which will be cool. We'll see that. I mean, the Royals are in the spotlight, man. Woo! You got Bobby Witt Jr. in the home run derby. You got four all-stars. Maybe Lugo starts the game. Royals baseball is all the way back. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come all the way back and look around. Maybe we'll get those breaking news notes here in the last 20 minutes of the show. But we will come back, and we'll have some more fun. It's all Brockton Caster. It's Sports Daily. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Appreciate their support of the show. Tommy and I may swing over, grab a beer there later. Not sure.
Well, happy hour today.
A little happy hour, possibly. Gotta go to, you know, what is the line? I gotta go to Home Depot. I just don't know if there's time.
Don't know if there's time.
Yeah. So we'll see about
nice
that.
Nice little Saturday planned.
But pool weather certainly out at Crestview. Maybe golf weather if you're a junkie. If you're a diehard, you can brave it. But it's all out
I'm
there
doing
for
that
you.
Tomorrow.
Tell them we sent you. Yeah, you're doing it not when it's going to be hot. Tell them we sent you. Go enjoy the time. Take a tour. Check it out. We'll come back more Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Our thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for always fueling us up at the Odyssey Studios, including at KFH, getting us through the morning. All right, Tommy, we get the Skeens news. We're still waiting. We'll see if we get the American League starter news in time before the end of the show here. Hopefully they go Seth Lugo. That'll be another cool moment for the All-Star festivities. Bobby Witt Jr. in the Home Run Derby should also be great. Really looking forward to that. I don't know if I think – I don't know if I even like his chances to win, honestly. But I like that he's – but I like that he's in there. Right, I like that he's on display that way. You never know in a derby. I'm kind of excited about the derby field. I think they've got some exciting. I know it's not the headliners, and while I think that kind of sucks, I do think there are a lot of really interesting players in there that'll be good for baseball to sort of get on display a little bit. I'm glad the host Rangers got somebody in. And if you're going to get somebody in, you want it to be Adolis Garcia, all the flair and the flash and all that stuff. So that also adds to it. But I think it'll be a good All-Star game and a lot of interest for us here because of the Royal representation.
Yeah, I need going to the actual All-Star game. I need you to call your buddy Bruce Bochy and go ahead and have him name Seth Lugo as the starter for the American League. I think that would be just a great way to follow up the Paul Skeens announcement. I saw Jeff Passan put out there just a few minutes ago. Obviously, we don't know what the starting lineup is going to be for the American League, but potentially the bottom of the first inning, Paul Skeens could be facing Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. Like, come on now. Like, that would just be incredible. Like, 1-2-3, bottom of the first. That'd be insane.
Yeah. It's good. I love the All-Star game. I when I was a kid, and it even before the World Series part of it, I never missed a second of it. I thought it was the coolest thing. Not quite as invested into it these days, but I do have always said, and it's not because they do some particular thing better than the others, but it's always going to be the best All-Star event because the players can play it at full speed. They can play just the same way they play every day, and I understand why you can't have that in the other sports, but you get it in baseball, and I think that matters, and that's what makes it more fun.
I think so too. And considering, just the young star power that baseball just has in general, I'm not sure. It's been a while, I think, since we've had that. You know, there have been a young star here, a couple there throughout the last few years. But man, really, you've just got this influx. And you look at the American League, obviously, the Royals have Bobby Witt Jr. And then that's, the showstopper right there for this part of baseball fandom. But the young stars that the Orioles have, Paul Skeens for the Pirates, there are so many young superstars, budding superstars. That's what makes, I think, the All-Star game, at least this year, so much more exciting. And then you look at the Home Run Derby, and I know you mentioned that a moment ago. It's a nice mix, I think, of these young, budding superstars and the veterans and the guys that just mash home runs and they have for a long time. Adolis Garcia, obviously, and I'm, of course, partial to Marcell Ozuna. There are, Pete Alonso. There are these bigger names that are in there that I think that's going to be a really fun mix. And for me, will make the Home Run Derby, I think, more of a must-see event than it has been in a while.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to have Shohei there. That would be the only thing you change. You'd like to have Shohei, Aaron Judge there. But other than that, I think it's going to be good. It's still going to be highly entertaining. Appreciate everybody for jumping with us here in launch week to our 12 News Connected simulcast. Things have gone really well for launch weeks and technical things. I think we've got a groove there. We'll continue that certainly, and we're looking forward to that. We'll try to get some great guests in as we go through the summer here. Hoping for some KU and K-State representation in that now that Big 12 Media Days, some football representation now that those are behind us. So we'll continue to work on that and get that ready for you. We've got TBT next week. Frank Mason talked yesterday. I think the TBT, when you look at all three collective lineups for the alumni teams, is probably as good as it's ever been. I mean, KU is going to run a squad out there with Frank Mason and Thomas Robinson headlining.
Yeah. Coaching by Sherron Collins.
I mean, let's go, right? And we know the aftershocks.
I know they made that announcement.
The aftershocks have their cast, and they're going to be great. K-State's got a bunch of talented players. It's going to be awesome. So that'll we'll begin to dig into that. We'll try and run some of them down next week as well, because the TBT, it starts Saturday. A week from tomorrow, we get that. All right, we'll tell you what's coming up. We'll get you the details on how you can listen to the Royals series this weekend. Don't go away. We'll wrap things up on a Friday here next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Our thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for always fueling us up at the Odyssey Studios, including at KFH, getting us through the morning. All right, Tommy, we get the schemes news. We're still waiting. We'll see if we get the American League starter news in time before the end of the show here. Hopefully they go Seth Lugo. That'll be another cool moment for the All-Star festivities. Bobby Witt Jr. in the Home Run Derby should also be great. Really looking forward to that. I don't know if I even like his chances to win, honestly. But I like that he's in there, right? I like that he's on display that way. You never know in a derby. I'm kind of excited about the derby field. I think they've got some exciting. I know it's not the headliners, and while I think that kind of sucks, I do think there are a lot of really interesting players in there that'll be good for baseball to sort of get on display a little bit. I'm glad the host Rangers got somebody in. And if you're going to get somebody in, you want it to be Adolis Garcia, all the flair and the flash and all that stuff. So that also adds to it. But I think it'll be a good All-Star game and a lot of interest for us here because of the Royal representation.
Yeah, I need going to the actual All-Star game. I need you to call your buddy Bruce Bochy and go ahead and have him name Seth Lugo as the starter for the American League. I think that would be just a great way to follow up the Paul Skeens announcement. I saw Jeff Passan put out there just a few minutes ago. Obviously, we don't know what the starting lineup is going to be for the American League, but potentially the bottom of the first inning, Paul Skeens could be facing Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. Like, come on now. Like, that would just be incredible. Like, 1-2-3, bottom of the first. That'd be insane.
Yeah. It's good. I love the All-Star game. I when I was a kid, and it even before the World Series part of it, I never missed a second of it. I thought it was the coolest thing. Not quite as invested into it these days, but I do have always said, and it's not because they do some particular thing better than the others, but it's always going to be the best All-Star event because the players can play it at full speed. They can play just the same way they play every day. And, you know, I understand why you can't have that in the other sports, but you get it in baseball. And I think that matters, and that's what makes it more fun.
I think so too. And considering, you know, just the young star power that baseball just has in general, I'm not sure. It's been a while, I think, since we've had that. You know, there have been a young star here, a couple there throughout the last few years. But, man, really, you've just got this influx. And you look at the American League, obviously, the Royals have Bobby Witt Jr., and then that's, you know, the showstopper right there for this part of baseball fandom. But the young stars that the Orioles have, Paul Skenes for the Pirates, there are so many young superstars, budding superstars. That's what makes, I think, the All-Star game, at least this year, so much more exciting. And then you look at the Home Run Derby, and I know you mentioned that a moment ago. It's a nice mix, I think, of these young, budding superstars and the veterans and the guys that just mash home runs, and they have for a long time. Adolis Garcia, you know, obviously, and I'm, of course, partial to Marcelo Ozuna. There are, you know, Pete Alonso. There are these big names that are in there that I think that's going to be a really fun mix. And for me, will make the Home Run Derby, I think, more of a must-see event than it has been in a while.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to have Shohei there. That would be the only thing you change. You'd like to have Shohei, Aaron Judge there. But other than that, I think that it's going to be good. It's still going to be highly entertaining. Appreciate everybody for jumping with us here in launch week to our 12 News Connected simulcast. Things have gone really well for launch weeks and technical things. I think we've got a groove there. We'll continue that, certainly. We're looking forward to that. We'll try to get some great guests in as we go through the summer here. Hoping for some KU and K-State representation in that now that Big 12 Media Days, some football representation now that those are behind us. So we'll continue to work on that and get that ready for you. We've got TBT next week. Frank Mason talked yesterday. I think the TBT, when you look at all three collective lineups for the alumni teams, is probably as good as it's ever been. I mean, KU is going to run a squad out there with Frank Mason and Thomas Robinson headline.
Yeah. Coaching by Sherron Collins.
I mean, let's go, right? And we know the aftershocks.
I know they made that announcement.
The aftershocks have their cast, and they're going to be great. K-State's got a bunch of talent to play. It's going to be awesome. So we'll begin to dig into that. We'll try and run some of them down next week as well, because the TBT, it starts Saturday, a week from tomorrow. We get that. All right, we'll tell you what's coming up. We'll get you the details on how you can listen to the Royals series this weekend. Don't go away. We'll wrap things up on a Friday here next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.